Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I'll follow though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Welcome and
Happy Thanksgiving or belated Thanksgiving to each and every one. Pray that you had a great time with your family and enjoyed yourselves and didn't eat too much at the same time, but at the same time that you repent and get it right with God and and go and enjoy your family together along with one another. So well, praise God. We thank God for a great time with the family. It was very good, refreshing. And so as we come forth to this edition, welcome to the Blog Hour, Apostle Marcus Dupree, and we thank God for each and everyone's on tonight, and we thank God for what he's about to do. And we're going to tonight, before I start, let me go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. We give you praise, give you honor, glory. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad. And thank you for this opportunity that you've given to us, oh God. Thank you for helping us to go forward and do what needs to be done in Jesus' name. Lord God, show forth your glory, your presence, your power, Lord God, and we thank you for the demonstration of your spirit tonight. Thank you for your love, your unconditional love, Lord God, that goes forth, both south, east, and west, Lord God, goes forth all over the reaches, right where we are, Lord God. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for just your compassion, your love, Lord God. Thank you that your love just never runs out. And we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. We are on this call tonight. Thank you for your presence, oh God. Thank you for allowing us to experience you like we've never experienced you before. Thank you for an encounter with your word that's going to cause us to be transformed, oh God. Thank you even for the opportunity that you've given us to share your word. Your word will illuminate hearts and minds tonight in Jesus' name. So, Lord, thank you in advance for what you're about to do. Thank you for the word, for the impact of the word that's going to come forth. And we thank you, in Lord God, as you continue to cause us to prosper. Because as we take your word in, we thank for your word doing the work inside of us, oh God, that will cause us to be set free, liberated, changed. Oh God, everything that needs to be done, that your word shall do it. In Jesus' mighty name. So, Father, thank you in advance. We charge this atmosphere with your presence, oh God, and we thank you in advance for what you're about to do, say, and experience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. After we did the call last week, the Lord dealt with me about that. To go back again into that and to do what we call a how did he have me say it? But basically, go back in and do a revisit. To go back and revisit what we covered last week. You want me to reiterate from a different point or touch from a different angle. So we're going to come forth tonight. Go back to Mark chapter 11 and start at verse 12. All right. And okay. So starting at verse 12, we're going to go forth. Well, yes. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of the hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went to the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in this temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, the evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, said to him, to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you're standing, so when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Amen. All right. So welcome once again. And if there's anyone need to, you have a question or a prayer request, you have a prayer request or anything you desire to speak, the number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. All right, let's go to work. Okay. Now we go back to verse 12. We see here Jesus is coming to town, going to Bethany. He came from Bethany, but he was hungry. Now he came to the fig tree, and we see here the fig tree had leaves. The leaves represent life, fresh life, showing you that it's growing, it's alive. But he was looking for what they call zangtongs. Zangtongs, I think it was zangtongs. Okay, these are prefigs that actually grow before the figs actually come on. This is a pre-budding that takes place. And when this pre-budding takes place, it is a sign that is going to be a fruitful or productive year of figs. So when this happened, Jesus, and also along with the leaves, is also a sign that it was going to be a productive season. Well, the tree had the leaves, but it didn't have the zangtongs, or the prefigs, I should say. And so when this happened, it was deceptive. And Jesus was because he knew what he was expecting when he saw the leaves, but of course when he got there, it was a different story. And so, you look at what Jesus said, verse 13 tells you that it was not the time for figs. So it makes no sense for Jesus to be expecting figs in the time of season there were no figs. But that lets you know that he was expecting something different that was supposed to be there, but was not there. Okay, verse 14 says, and Jesus answered. Now, who was Jesus speaking to for him to answer? Jesus responded. So in the light of what he expected to see, this was his response to what he did not see. And so he said, and Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So it was because you deceived me, no longer shall a man eat fruit from you. You're not going to be able to produce from this point. No man should eat from you ever again. Those were sharp words, straight to the point. Jesus dropped it, walked away. Okay, so because we went had the experience with the temple and everything, we're going to move on from that. All right, man, we're going to move on down to verse 18. Okay, and the scribes and chief priests heard it and saw how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Remember, people who don't understand you, or they can't control you, or in this case here, they're afraid of his influence, because he saw that the people were interested in what he was saying. He had their attention. They gave proper respect. They didn't, you know, they took to heart what he said. Matter of fact, so much to the way they would take time to listen. See, they were the quote unquote big dogs at one point. People would listen to them and would give them the respect. But then after Jesus came on the scene, Jesus began to expose things, expose them, show how vain and shallow they really were. They knew a bunch of the laws, but they didn't know God. They knew how to have a form of godliness, but yet denied the power thereof. So they knew how to go through the motions, but really walking as a true priest, a true representative of God, they didn't do that. So here Jesus came in and defied all that. He actually showed them not only I'm going to show you what religiously you could expect to see, but he showed by relationship how this functioning in the kingdom is supposed to be. He didn't bring them religion. He brought them relationship. He showed them because of his relationship to the Father, he didn't have to do the rituals of man. He didn't have to do all the go through all the motions that they went through to try and show that they were holy. You see, a lot of, they were into showing something that they really weren't in their hearts. That's how they really kind of they did things. They were into showing you, giving you a form of godliness. They know the lingo. They know the church lingo. They know how to put on a good act. They know how to cross the feet a few times and say this and that. They know how to do all the acts of how it could or supposed to look. But deep in their heart, they were not connected with God. Okay, going to verse 19, it says, and when evening was come, he came out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, here we see where the power of the tongue is in motion here. We see where Jesus spoke one time. He didn't beg the tree. He didn't say, he didn't shout at it and throw rocks at it. He didn't do all that, throw a temper tantrum. He just plainly said, made the statement that no man should ever eat from you again, and he cursed it. So when you tell something, or in this case here, Jesus told this tree, which is used to producing, used to having a cycle of life, when he told him no man should eat fruit from you again, that just took away his existence, because the tree was there to produce. And this is another thing. The tree was made to produce. Because the tree didn't produce, it broke the cycle. So here it is. Jesus identified, he saw this, and he cursed it. No man should eat from you again. Because it was deceptive, because he had parts of growth, but it was not showing the whole growth of cycle right there. All right, so as he moved on, the tree showed the evidence and manifestation of the curse that Jesus released to it. And Peter called to remembrance, verse 21, saying to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. He was astonished. He was amazed. He was like, wow, I never seen such a thing. I mean, you just said that yesterday, and all of a sudden the fact that not only did he say it, but the tree responded to his words. The tree responded and took heed and died. See, the thing is, even though nothing physically happened at that time, his word went straight to the core. This is why we have to be careful when it comes down to when it comes to our words. We're still dealing with speaking to our mountains. I mean, speaking to our mountains and hold one second here, I lost track. We're still talking pertaining to the subject about moving mountains. We're talking about changing your world and overcoming your mountains. So when we talk about changing your world, part of your changing your world is part, it has to do a lot to do with your speech. A lot about what you say, a lot about what you do, what you allow, what you may need to change, or what you don't change. And then overcoming your mountain, you're going to have challenges. It's going to come. It's evident. You're going to have challenges. But how do you overcome these challenges that's trying to come into your world, trying to block you, trying to oppose you? How do you keep your head and deal with those things that need to be changed and not lose your focus? How do you deal with the things that have been that's coming against you, who's just trying you, who's testing you, and you not lose your faith? See, this is because now sometimes what happens is we begin to blame God for our challenges, what we're going through, instead of realizing, okay, guess what? This did not catch God by surprise. Why are we allowing it to catch us by surprise? So when we look at this whole thing, we have to remember, no matter what comes our way, God is not surprised. God knows it. Remember Job. Before Job could go through what he went through, the devil had to get permission. We always see that, we know that. So because of that, it lets us know that God is still in control of this thing. He knows how much that you can handle. He knows how much he's going to allow you to handle and deal with. So when we talk about changing your world and overcoming your mountains, we have to realize there is a lot in what we do and say. This statement goes along with that. It says, faith speaks and faith acts. Not only by your speech, but also by the deeds and the acts that we do. So Jesus spoke something. He acted on it. The action actually came forth even after he spoke it. So Jesus here showing us that he spoke to this tree. He cursed the fig tree, and guess what? It died. It responded to his word. We see this as if we go back in Genesis, we see this again. God said, let there be light, and it was. God didn't struggle with it. He didn't beg the lights to come on. He didn't try and hope that it come on. He just said it and left it, and guess what? It appeared. So he did, and a lot of times Jesus would say, I'm do what I see my Father doing, or done. So here it is. He did what he saw his Father do by speaking. And then creation responded back to his word. So now if Jesus did what he saw his father doing, he's our elder brother, he's also inside of us, then what should be happening with us? Then we also have that same authoritative power to speak, say. Now the thing is about this, the difference is, we mentioned this in the last few weeks, that Jesus walked in the full measure of the full power of the Spirit. Of course, he was still fully man, but he was still walk as fully God. Now, the difference between us and him is that Jesus had 3.5 years to walk out and demonstrate the kingdom of God in action. He had 3.5 years to do this. You know, of course, he lived 33 years, but He had 3 years to walk out his ministry. We have more than 3 years to walk out our life in ministry. So this is why we have to start from a different place and develop our faith, our growth, and begin to develop the confidence to speak a word and see that word be established. You know, we have to begin to start somewhere in order for us to see the big measure. Now, this is why you have some people who are walking with God that they can say a thing, and it happens so fast, you'll be, oh, my God. Now, the difference between you and them is relationship. They may have a closer walk with God than you do, or they've done or traveled a pathway in their walk with God that you haven't. But we all have the ability to have a relationship with God to that level. It's like working out. all of us have the ability to go to the gym, work out, and develop our muscles. It's a matter of choice. Also, matter of practice and repetition, what we do. What is our regimen? What is our routine? What is it that we do? We can go to the gym every day, sign in, and just sit down. Or you can go to the gym, sign in, and actually get to work and begin to do. Growing. Are we developing our faith? Are we putting to action what we believe as far as speaking? Are we exercising our faith? Are we exercising our vocals to speak the truth and watch it be established? See, this is what separates the good from the great, from a leader from a follower. Ones who put the principles of God into action and begin to see results. This is what causes a person to grow, not only their own growth for themselves, but also inspire other people and cause them to catch on fire for God as well. See, when people can see your fire and feel your fire, it can be addictive. You can cause them to want what you have to wear now in order for them to want, they want, they may want what you have, but what are they going to do to get what you have? That means it's going to provoke them, inspire them, cause them to dig deeper in their word, to get closer to God, spend more time. These are the effects, these are the influences of a true Christian. Are we the way we're supposed to be? Are we there yet? And in a lot of ways, in some ways we are, but some ways we are not. A lot of ways we're not because of our heart and our passion towards God. See, the more I know, the more I learn about him, the more I want to share him. That's the way it's supposed to be. Well, sometimes we can get very comfortable, relaxed. But bottom line is, in order for us to progress, to get ourselves to a great, a stronger place in God, to where our words are more effective, faster, in what we do, we have to exercise our faith. Now, there was a study done years ago. I mean, some of you may have heard me mention it. There was a lady. She was having fevers and. She was running high temperatures, and they tried to send her to the doctor and everything, but they couldn't find out where this thing was coming from. And they began to do the study test, and they realized that that she was getting heated and things was happening. Didn't understand what was going on, but bottom line is they began to do a test on her, do further tests, and they found that by her words, I think she somehow got upset that she said something. And so then she began to, I think somehow they were beginning to figure out when she gets upset, one thing she likes to say is, "That burns me up. That burns me up." So this was an everyday thing. You know, some people say, you know, certain statements come up from people about religiously. Every day, I mean, you know when something happened, this is one of the first things that's going to come out of their mouth. Well, with her, this is what she was beginning to come out of her mouth. "It just burns me up. That burns me up." And so they started realizing the more she said it, the more she started having these heat, the problem with fevers and heat in situations, things started happening. So they realized, they made a connection that it was not because of what something was happening, but because of what she was saying that was sparking this fever, this heat, this sickness, whatever was happening was sparked by what she was saying. The thing is about it, you know, faith is like this. Every week we go to work with the expectation of getting a check. I mean, face it. I mean, your boss will say, "You know what? We don't have any money this week. We can't pay you." But you've already done the work. Your expectation is after you've done the work is to get your check. See, we operate in faith even in the simplest things in life. So we tell people, when people say, they don't have faith. Yes, you do. Because you have faith to put clothes on every day, get up out your bed, and expect for something to happen every day. So even in the simplest form, we operate in faith and not even know it. So here this thing here is that when she was saying this, it didn't take no grand old faith. But he said his faith size of a mustard seed can move mountains. So in the simplest form, she believed in what she was saying so much that the more she said it, the more it began to manifest. See, now get this. It's not always about the things about, you know, we equate faith with religion. But faith goes so far beyond religion till it's already real. It is real life every day that we live. See, this is why when we talk about someone being religious, these are formats, ways of operation that is partially by man, but it's just religious, it's just rituals and acts. But when you're talking about real life, faith is so real that a lot of times people, once again, people don't realize they're walking and living by faith and not even know it. Just because you may not call it faith, that don't mean that's not faith. You get up every week, and for those who work, you work every week in the expectation of a check at the end of the week. By faith, you go to work because that man can say, you know, I don't have a check for you. But you go in good faith, and people like to call good faith. Go punch in the clock, do what's expected of you, and at the end of the week, you're expecting a reward. You're expecting your paycheck. So here is, we understand, when it comes down to faith, she was doing it as a simplest form, but she was speaking the wrong thing. See, this is why we have to be careful what we're putting into the atmosphere. Proverbs 19:21 says, let's go to Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19. Eighteen twenty-one says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. James talks about the tongue, how the tongue is so powerful, can start wars, can stir all kind of stuff. How many times we've seen it? Somebody run their mouth a little too much, now it's the next thing you know, everybody fighting. Somebody says something they had no business, now they cause the family to split. People are not forgiving somebody because of something someone say. Those words can be so powerful, cause so much damage. But sometimes we major in the minor. We major so much in that minor tongue to where we cause so much damage, not only for ourselves, but also for others. But if we refocus this thing, we can literally change our world and overcome mountains if we begin to put this tongue into action in the right way. When we speak those things, so he said about our words, he says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we have to speak something in order for something to happen. So your part of your manifestation is your activation. A major part of your manifestation is your activation. Let me say that again. A major part of your manifestation that you want, you desire, that you're working on, has a part to play in your activation. You have to activate some things. Glory to God. We have the authority and power to activate things in our life. See, this is why you have the power to change your world. You have the power to activate and agitate some things. So let me say it like that. Because sometimes by what you say, you can agitate the devil because you keep speaking those words of faith. You causing the devil to get really agitated and aggravated. But you're doing it when you begin to do what you're supposed to do, you begin to cause and activate the right results. Can somebody hear me out there tonight? I'm trying to tell you. See, in order for our world to change, we have to aggravate the current to change.
Oh, man, my God.
In order for us to change our world, we must agitate and aggravate current to change. This means we have to disrupt the current state. In other words, break in to let it know there's an announcement about to be made. This thing about to change. The way it's been going is no longer going. Matter of fact, it's now changed. See, remember, you have the authority, the power. So change it. So in order to change your world. Now, I just mentioned the authority and power. He says, so overcoming your mountains. So no matter what mountains come into your life, you don't have to sit there and be subject to it. Okay. Now, all right. Now, we let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. We talk about authority. So, matter of fact, let's go to Matthew 16 instead. We'll come back to 18. Matthew 16 first. Matthew 16, verse 17. Let's go straight to verse 19. Matthew 16, verse 19 says, I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, we have to understand, when you have keys, that means you have authority. Why would someone give you keys? When someone gives you the keys, you now have temporary or you now have you currently have the authority to activate or initiate. Access something. Initiate, access, activate something. So here it is. He said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Now, we got to understand the kingdom of heaven is the place, the actual little physical, or we said physical, but spiritual location of heaven. Now, when we talk about the kingdom of God, you talk about the kingdom of God, that represents the authority of God. That means the way of God, the way and operations of God actually doing things. He says, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. The way of ways and operations of God, how he get things done, how he goes forth in authority, power, the do's and don'ts of the kingdom. Okay, so when we see this, he says, as far as the kingdom of heaven, he giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He said, whatsoever, okay, and the scripture goes on. He says, I will give it to you, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now, whatsoever you bind on earth, now these are actions that need to take place. So whatever you take authority of on earth is also done in heaven. Or should I literally reverse that? Because whatsoever is done in heaven is now going to be done on earth. So this is why we have to make sure that we understand what we're doing. We have to make sure that we are operating, okay, let's say you can't bind up. You can't bind up, you can't bind up something good to make it bad. Something good in heaven to make it bad on earth. Because it's illegal. You can't do that. Because if it's legal in heaven, it can be legal on earth. It should be legal on earth. But because we have to, because the scripture says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So heaven is our pattern of operation. When we look at what it is that we're operating and doing, we have to make sure it's in compliance with God's word. So that's why even when it comes to certain acts, certain things you're doing, if it's not in the will of the Father, if it's not lined up with the word of God, it's not going to do what you're trying to make it do. It has to be in agreement and legal in alignment with God. We can't go opposite or in resistance to God and his word and expect his word to bless mess. We can't expect, God to murder someone. So here it is, for instance, you see a person, a woman, I want her to be my wife. Okay, God, you say I can have whatsoever I say. So get rid of the husband to take the wife. I mean, really? So you asking God to break 15 different commandments just for you to try illegally obtain someone's wife. You think God's going to honor that? He's not going to do that. That's illegal. So that's a legal move you're trying to make. And kingdom of heaven is not going to back that up. That's illegal. So if it's not in alignment with God's word, his character, his actions, his heart, it's not going to work. So in those cases, you can speak a whole bunch of stuff. It ain't going to happen. God's not going to honor that. So we have to make sure that what we're speaking is productive to the kingdom of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, we can speak some negative things. It's a difference, you know. We speak some negative things and, okay, for instance, I remember I used to do this. My wife used to get on my kids, but there's a lot when we first connected because I was still learning in a lot of areas. You know, she was more mature in Christ, so she had to really deal with me on this thing a few times. I was like, man, I'm so broke, I can't pay attention. I'm pulling out my pockets, looking like rabbit ears, so I'm broke. And she said, stop with those negative confessions. Because I didn't realize the more I keep saying I'm broke, the more broke I got. I mean, the more I was finding myself broke. Listen. We talk about people putting work curses on them. How many work curses we put on ourselves? Think about the negative, the girl, that thing just killing me. Really? Then you wonder why you slowly dying? She make me sick. They just give me a headache. And you wonder why. So the enemy loving this because all that he had to do is feed us an idea, and we were creating this with our words, our mouth. That's why some people, when it comes down to certain things, you have to remember the enemy cannot, only thing the enemy can do is suggest. He cannot make you do anything. So this is why when someone feels your chest and they feel a lump. The first thing is the enemy tries to say, you got cancer. And only thing he's waiting for them to do is say, Lord, I hope I ain't got cancer. And so now they're full of fear. They're speaking something foolishly. And now, guess what? The same way God moves by faith is the same way the devil moves by your fear. So now he's taking this, which you just created, and guess what? He brings reality. And so now the thing that you fear the most in Job 3:25, the thing that you fear the most has come upon you. Because now you were so fearful of the thing, but you didn't realize your fear is acting like a magnet pulling this bad thing to happen in your life. So that's why some things that we experienced was not supposed to happen. But we created stuff. See, this is where the enemy tries to use the lack of knowledge against us. You don't know how creative that you are. You don't know how powerful that you are in God. But until we start creating the wrong things, we start creating setbacks for our own life. We start sabotaging our own life. See, here it is. God may bless you. Oh, my God. This is speaking to somebody. God may bless you with an opportunity for a new job. And something comes up. There's some kind of miscommunication. See, I know God ain't meant for me to have this here. So all of a sudden, that which you had is now gone. Because you spoke into reality something that was not even there. It was your job. It was yours, your promotion. But you spoke against it because you fed into what the enemy wanted you to think. And when you fed into what he wanted you to think, you sabotaged your own future. See, your greatest enemy is within you. This is why we have to renew the mind with the word of God. If we don't change the way we're thinking, we are going to go around with stinking thinking, making things funky for our own self. Amen, amen. We have a guest. Amen. Come on, forth to speak. Amen. Go ahead. You speak. Hello? All right, someone chimed in. You can go ahead and speak. All right, well, you can try again. But amen. So we don't know how bad we sabotage ourselves because of the words that we speak and have spoken against ourselves. See, listen, the thing is this. Let me help you there. I don't care how many things you speak against my life. That goes for every person who goes to see the root doctor too. I'm coming at you. I'm coming down your lane. I don't care how many root men you see. Throw down all the chicken foot you want. Bottom line is you cannot bless what God has cursed. And if you speak anything against my life, it does not automatically mean it's going to come to flourishing. Bottom line is, even your words need ground. The ground that your words need is the ground of my heart. So if I receive it, now is a good chance it can come to pass. But if I reject it and send it back to you, guess what? You got it. And bottom line is, I don't care how much people are speaking against you, they want you to fail. You cannot fail unless you accept failure. You will not be cursed unless you accept the curse. See, people have learned to or thought to go to a root doctor and this and that, and other places like that, and soothsayers, mediums, whatever each way you will call it. They want to do all these other extra stuff that's on the wrong side of the spiritual realm. Let me tell you something. God is the ultimate. He's all powerful, all knowing, omniscient, omnipresent. He is awesome just like that. And if I have him on my side, who's the world against me? But if you do not realize who you're serving, if you don't realize who you belong to, the world can slip you a Mickey every single time and get you all caught up. I don't care how many people they can get a look. I can give you a picture and you put it on the voodoo doll. I don't care. Bottom line is, if I don't believe, especially because my faith is already in action, and don't let me know that you're trying to come against me like that. That thing will catch on fire in your hand. See, we do not realize how much power that we have because we're we're spiritual. My God. We are spiritual beings. You are a spirit. You possess a soul, live in the body. We're so spiritual to the core, but we choose to be soulish. We choose to be led more in touch with the flesh and the soul. But the core of you is spirit. See, we have a say in the matter. And how much you decide to receive of what is given to you, especially when you come down to it, the authority of a believer is so much greater than just going to church, y'all. That's why when you get caught up in just going to church action, you're setting yourself up for fail. Because, yes, we come to gather to the church or wherever we gather. You can gather on this line, church. Listen, it doesn't matter. He said not to forsake the fellowship of the saints. So when we talk about assembly, the assembly could be wherever the assembly can be at. We can be in the back of my garage. We can be in the yard. wherever we assemble, we can be on the phone line, wherever we assemble, God will be there. We cannot limit it to a physical location. Think about it. How many times Jesus spoke in the church anyway? Building. He been in the synagogue a few times, and one time they wanted to kill him. In the church. Most times Jesus was out there in the open, the field, on the boat, preaching, people hearing, receiving the word. Some of the greatest miracle signs and wonders were done outside the church building. So we can't, this is why we have to get out of this in the box mentality. Let me tell you something, the demonstration of the power of God, the kingdom of God is in you, can be demonstrated wherever you go. Look here, in the back of the supermarket by the zucchinis, you can be laying hands on the sick and watch them recover. That's the kingdom in action. The kingdom is not subject to a building. The kingdom is not subject to just an office call. It's not subject just to one person. Whosoever believe, let them come. He said, these signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. In my name shall cast the devil, speak in new tongues. See, that's the thing. Why are we limiting ourselves? Because some part of it is we don't take responsibility. We have to be responsible to realize you as a believer, there's authority that a believer has. And it's up to you to operate in the right way in order for you to use it. We feel comfortable just taking someone to the pastor. We feel comfortable calling a minister so-and-so. We feel comfortable calling a brother so-and-so. That's his calling. No, that's all our calling. Come on now. We so easily put it off on people, and we wonder, and then we get mad for when God started blessing them for being a good servant. Okay, let me come down another lane. Then we get mad at the preacher when he gets blessed to get a new car. Now, I thought he used to be preaching for money. Well, what a man supposed to live on, fish and chips? I mean, you work him all day long. You mean to me he can't? Why not? If his father's a, he's a father, he's a, his father has a cattle on a thousand hill, then why can't he have good? Yeah, but he's preaching prosperity. The whole Bible's prosperity. He said, third John chapter 2, verse 2 says, I wish above all things that you prosper in good and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. So what's wrong with somebody prospering? Now, I can see if you selling off people and doing the wrong thing with it, I can see, that's a different story. But what if the doctor in the office who's taking your money, he won't give nothing about you, he don't give a lamb about you. He can take your money and do what he want to do. He can have diagnosed you, and you gladly pay him. But then you hear the preacher who praying, sweating, brain out, visiting you all time of night just to make sure you and your family good. But when the minute they get a new ride, shoot, everyone having a fit. When he trading the clunker and get a thumper, now somebody's mad. The pastor, he should be driving something that nice. But no, he's supposed to drive a horse and buggy. You know, these are the things that these are mentality, these issues, because see, we don't understand the work that it takes to help people, the amount of work it takes to help people to see, understand their identity in Christ, it takes a lot. And for those who are sincerely doing the work, now don't get me wrong, you got some people who's not doing what you're supposed to do. I'm not saying all are. You got some that's just not right for real. It's running a scanner and a hustle and a heartbeat. But everyone is not like that. And it's sad to say, that the church's discernment is so off that they will feed the ones who are preying, P-R-E-Y, on the people versus praying with the people. They will feed those ones who are not doing the church right, hirelings. They'll feed them, but the ones that are sincerely doing the work of the Lord and from a sincere place, they're the ones who go through all the struggles. Sad to say that. There's a lot of that happen. Those are the ones who get left out. They have to go through their family, and their families go through it. The pastor, the Bible shows us by example. I know some people ain't like this tonight, but the Bible shows us when people came before a prophet in the Old Testament, they came with the gift. They never came empty-handed. Oh, we preaching tonight. We preaching tonight. They never came empty-handed. They always had a gift because do you understand, recognize the anointing? This is a man, true man and woman of God. And you know when they pray for you, whatever you bring it towards them, you know they are in touch with God to where they whatever you need, God's going to answer through them. Not exalting the man where they're in the wrong place, but you understand the one who God has anointed and called and touched. So here it is. They came and they blessed the man or woman of God after they got through doing whatever they had to do. People don't do that now. Oh, God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for the God bless you, but you, there's a part that you have to play too. Amen. You know, and matter of fact, let me say this. Even in the world, when you go to the doctor now, what is it that you have to do, even though you have insurance, you still have a co-pay. You still have a part to play in for this bill to be paid. The insurance got their part, and guess what? You got your part. God going to do his part, but guess what? You got to do your part. See, we don't realize that we have adopted some things, and as a matter of fact, we put some things in action to where we're binding up God's hand. God cannot fully bless the whole circle of the whole thing if we keep binding up his hand. See, whatsoever bound has to be loosened. So here it is, something that God deemed to be a blessing. We do part of it, but we don't do the whole. God is hindered. Amen. You know, the doctor said you got to go get a prescription. It costs $100. You know what? Y'all eat pork and bean and rice that week. Y'all will get that medication. But if it comes down to God saying, you know what, sow a seed into the man and woman of God's life. People stutter, they fall on the floor, they stay in the bed like they're sick all day because they don't want to go to church at night. All kind of stuff. We do this. But is God pleased, though? But bottom line, when God wants us to prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prosper, the whole Bible is prosperity. Trust me, like I said, we know we have some people who are wolves in sheep's clothes. We understand that. But every preacher is not that. Every leader is not that. And we have to stop treating people like that. There's some real strong, let me tell you, some good quality men and women of God out there who suffer unnecessarily because the church's mind is twisted. You can go to Michael Kors store and spend your whole paycheck, but you won't sow a $100 seed to your pastor. You can go take you and your family on love lashes vacation, but when the last time you can bless a man and woman God for them and their family? But yet every week they're preaching the same words that's delivering your soul, because all the time you want to take your car and run your boss over, that word from that man or woman of God ringing your head, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Pastor, I thank you for that word last week. Yeah, but show your appreciation. Sow a seed. It's not about money. I ain't say pay your pastor off. I said sow a seed. Sow a seed into the anointing in life to encourage them to keep doing what they're doing. See, your words of life can go speak volumes into pastors, leaders. It takes a lot. Y'all don't understand the warfare that people go through just to preach the word of God. We go through things that we didn't ask for because of why? To help y'all. To be a blessing to you. We go through some hell for a few years to stand for a few minutes to give you a testimony that's going to help deliver your soul. Real talk. There's some things we've gone through, and not only for ourselves. My wife and I, we stood and believed God. We were in the house for 8.5 years. For 6 years out of the 8.5 years, we didn't even pay a house note because it wasn't that we chose not to. We didn't have the money. But you know what? We never got, they never foreclosed on the house and never kicked us out. even they even tried to sell. They tried to sell the house from under us. They tried to auction the house. It never moved. When it was time for us to go, then God released us to go, and then we walked away with a check. Come on. See, we didn't go through all that for nothing. We go through that to help you, help us, to be encouraging one to one another, to help the people of God overcome these mountains that's coming in your life, to let you see, look here, that was a mountain for us. Guess what? You can do the same thing too. But change your speech. Don't stop. Stop speaking defeat. Speak victory over your life. Oh, my God. So praise God. My God. Hallelujah. So amen. Amen. Oh God. Time is up. Okay. Okay. Let me finish this one verse here. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. See, so we have to understand. Amen. Okay. So we have someone. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, man? God bless you.
God bless you. Hey, man. How you doing, Mr. Marcus?
I'm doing well. And I was loving what you were saying, you know, about how twisted the church is. You know, and what the church, you know, it's all confirmation because the same thing our leaders preach is you're confirmating it even on the line, and I love that. And, you know, and people forget that, you know, when Jesus was born, how, you know, people came and gave him gifts, you know.
Yes.
And people, you know, they put what is false on something that is true. And then they get all twisted, you know. That's why God says, you know, woe to the inhabitant of earth, for Satan came down with great wrath. And Jesus began to talk about how he's a liar and a great deceiver. Satan is a master deceiver. He wants to deceive people out of their prosperity. And, you know, as we go to the book of Malachi, Malachi 3, verse 10, it says, bring ye all tithing into the storehouse, that there will be food and meat in my house. And
yes,
prove me now, says the Lord of hosts. See, there it is right there. Said the Lord of hosts. And if I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. There it is. For God said he will open up windows and pour you out blessings. And people miss the fact that, you know, you're blessing the house of God. When you're blessing even the man or woman of God, you're blessing God. You're blessing him because those are his chosen and anointed. Those are his vessels that he are using for you, you know, for your soul. And people miss that factor of it all, you know. Jesus simply said in his word, another scripture people miss, is whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do unto me. So how you treat people around you or people that also, you know, pray for your souls, you know, and labor for you, you're treating Christ the same way. However we treat people out and about, we're treating Christ the same way. We are all built in the image of God. And, you know, and people, you know, they just going by, you know, what they see but cannot comprehend. You know, this is why God said we must, you know, read Scripture and study to show ourselves approved, 2 Timothy. You know, because people is only going by their feelings and emotion and fleshly desire. And what you said is so right and so accurate about, you know, we spend all this money spending on the world, you know, which is the devil's world, because Jesus said the god of this world. We're quick to give him money, but when it comes to the kingdom of God and building the kingdom, we act stuck up. How do you act so stuck up?
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong. That's right. Wrong to God. Because let me tell you something. God didn't have to go on that cross and pay the price for us. You see, and the church is so twisted that they think, you know, the world think God owed them that. God didn't owe this world not a thing.
Yes.
He paid a great price. When those spikes got put in his hands, he paid the greatest price that we can ever pay. And we can't give God no type of, not even a dollar. It's we can't do this. We can't do it. But we'd rather give to the devil. We rather give to the world, his world, all of our money, but not the body of Christ. For Jesus said, store into the storehouse, not anything of this earth. You know, don't store anything upon this earth. I mean, what you store up in your little accounts, you can lose that within a day's time. You can lose that. Store it into the kingdom, Jesus said.
Yes, yes. Man.
You know, and the church is so is so twisted. You know, their brain not tied, because you know they're always going by what they can see. You know, and that's what messes people up. But Jesus simply said that, do not look upon the man of the flesh, because you know he said that for a reason, because the flesh will mess us up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look in the kingdom, look in the depths, you know, bless God. You know, God is not a type of God that when you bless him, he'll just look at you and say, oh, well. I mean, you know, even if he could, you know, I mean, he's right to do that. If so, because he gave us something more valuable. What did he give us more valuable? He gave us life.
Yeah. Amen.
He don't have to wake us up every morning. He don't even have to breathe his breath in us.
Yes.
We should be running to give God something.
Yes. And no, we even giving God our best.
Yes. Once he take that breath from us, guess what? You have nothing. All that money, you know, that little change or something you give God, it's you know, it'll be worth nothing. And God doesn't ask for much. He said 10%. Whatever you want to add on to that, hey, that's on you. But people don't even want to give him 10%. And that's sad.
Yeah, you're right.
But guess what? You know, taxes that take 50% out of our checks. You know, we may whine about that, but hey, but guess what? Next day we forget about it. We don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to God asking for 10 cents, oh man, people go all day and all year about all lifetime about our 10% to God. But the tax people is taking more than that.
That's right.
When they say pay your taxes, you better pay it. You got to pay it. And guess what? It's way more than 10%, baby. Way more. It's a lot more than 10%. But guess what? We'll pay it. If we want our house, if we want our cars, guess what? We're going to pay that tax. Don't pay that tax.
You're right now. Hey, amen. You're right. And that's the truth. We don't look at the big picture. But we pay more into the world system than God's system. And then we gladly do it, because you know why? Because we complain, but we still pay it. But when it comes to God, you know, we complain. I've heard people trying to talk about they're hard for them to pay their tithes. Okay, they try to work on payment plan to pay their tithes. Just pay your tithes. I mean, because like I said, if you look at the big picture, we put so much more into the world system than God's kingdom.
Amen.
There's already outbalanced already, but it's even more so. We want to skim God even shorter on our giving, because we're moving by sight and not by faith. And bottom line is, sowing your tithes and offering is truly by faith. Okay, yeah, you could take that 10% and go elsewhere, but guess what? At least he said 10%. He said 90. You got 90.
Yes.
You got the other 90. And so that's why we have to, you know, begin to get our minds. But once again, that goes back to a renewed mindset. We're not renewing the people's mind with the word of God. And then, too, people are not applying the word to their mind. You know, apply the word to your life. Okay, how many people can quote that scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2, but live it? Really allow it to resketch reset our pattern of thinking. And see towards the kingdom. When we begin to take in God's word and his kingdom, the word that comes through his kingdom, and really allow it to set in, it's really the opposite of the way we live in the world in a lot of ways.
Amen.
So we have to make a choice. Thank you for that. Amen, Mr. Marcus. Thank you for even sharing. And I mean, obviously, I'm about to get you on here because I see you, a man on fire over there. Okay. You struggle for quite a night. But amen. But yes, yeah. I thank God, amen, for you and your family as well. This is the minister who whose pastor who brought me up to New York, to Rochester, New York, and had a great time. Oh, we had a great time up there and ministered there, even up there. And we actually went to New York together, had a great time in the big city. We had a great time. It was awesome. But awesome man of God and love family, and he does what he has to do. I'm proud of him. Amen.
God bless you. God bless you and family.
Amen. God bless you and yours too. Amen. Yes, we have someone else. Come on. Amen. The next caller. Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was just listening to all of this. This is such a great lesson coming forth. And I just bless God. And I'm just sitting here, and the Lord is just speaking. If we be true blood ball believers, if we be who we say we are in God, why is it so hard to just simply do as God requires? And I believe that in these last days, we're seeing a great representation of who is and who is not. And so we just bless God on these things you're speaking about, the tithes we're speaking about, you know, how we treat others out, speaking about how power, life, and death is in our tongue. We just have gotten so far away from what thus saith the Lord. And even tonight I had posted earlier, you know, it's, we could talk a whole lot and quote scriptures, but until we become as leaders, as examples, you know, it's really like it's all in vain. If I'm not who I say I am, if I'm not living it, you know, souls aren't going to get saved like that. And so we just bless God for the lesson that's coming forth tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Yes, we have this caller. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Yes?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Dad, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Good. God bless you. Man.
God bless you. Yes, I was blessed by the word tonight, especially about, you know, the words that we speak out of our mouths. You know, God had been dealing with me about that. You know, the word of God says we're snared by the words of our mouth, and the tongue is a world of iniquity. How we can build things just by speaking it out of our mouths. And he was sharing with me that if we knew the power and the authority that we carry, of the words that come out of our mouths, oh, my God, we would be powerful people of God, powerful men and women of God. But we realize we don't understand, or we haven't come to a revelation yet, because like you said, we constantly speak things out of our mouths. Oh, I'm so sick of this. I'm so tired. And God had to deal with me and shake me out of that sleep, because I had begun to say, oh, God, I'm tired. And I began to see every day how tired I was. But once I changed my confession, I began to get a revelation, hallelujah, about the word that come out of our mouths, you know, and we really need to think before we speak, because a lot of times the things that we're dealing with is because of our mouths, and it was because of the things that we said. A lot of times we don't understand that we really speaking against ourselves. When we say things that we're not supposed to say, we're saying things against ourselves. We're cursing the very ground that we walk on. But it's time for us to come alive in the spirit and to speak over our lives, speak the word of God over our lives, because that's the only thing that's going to prosper and that's going to cause us to be successful in our spiritual life and in our natural life. Just begin to speak the word of God, no matter how it looks, no matter what's going on, speak the word of God, decree and declare a thing, because the word of God says we can speak a thing and it will come to pass. We can decree a thing and it shall be established. But who believes that? A lot of us don't believe that, because if we did, we would be speaking it and we would see things happen. We can't be moved by what we see, only by what we hear. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we speaking it, we are hearing it every day. So that's all I wanted to say. I get stirred up when it comes to speaking the word of God.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. We thank you for sharing. Amen. Truly, evangelist. That's true. I mean, very true. I mean, we if we don't change our mindset, we won't speak the right thing. And if we won't speak the right thing, we won't have what we say. Well, we won't have the right thing, because we're going to have what we say, but it may not be the right thing.
Yes.
Especially if our speech hasn't changed. You know, so thank God for you. Amen. Amen. Yes. Let's call her. Amen.
Hello, Pastor Marcus.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
Doing
okay.
Good. Doing so. Amen.
I believe that God is always confirming things. A lot of times when you listen to different pastors or, you know, listen to what God's telling you and dropping in your spirit, it always seems to be the same thing at the same time, because God is on one accord. But that's the same thing. I went to this church here in Evansville today, and the pastor's been talking about the mind lately. And a lot of, I'm, you know, thinking a lot during this conversation on the phone and while you're talking, and I'm asking myself, like, how do you change the words? And I think that that has to do with, you know, how you're thinking, the mind.
Right.
Your thoughts and your words go together, right? So in order
right.
to change the way that you speak, you have to change the things that are on your mind and how you're thinking.
Right.
Right?
All that, right. All that works together. And when we begin to see what you think on is what you're going to speak on. It's going to come out of your mouth. What you allow to you know, germinate or build in your heart, your mouth is going to speak it eventually. It's going to come out. So even changing the way we look at life, think about it, speak slower, think faster. I guess you could say, because now we begin to think about what we're saying and speaking. Matter of fact, I saw something about a week ago where Steve Harvey was trying to help a young lady who was stuttering. Some of you may have seen that. And when he told her something is key that I want to even also use here. He told her to think about what she was going to say two or three times, three or four times before she actually say it. And when she do say it, it'll come out. And she was stuttering a whole lot less because she thought about it and she let it process before she was ready to speak. And sometimes the anticipation of speaking is what kind of flares up a stutter. So here, even in this situation, when we're talking about changing our mindset, thinking about what we say, process, because we realize our mouth is a legal weapon. Our tongue is a legal weapon. We have to remember, okay, so keeping that in mind, we think about what we put out there first, because we know once we say it, we can't take it back. You know, we can you know, override, but we can't necessarily take it back because it's already released. But so being careful, mindful of what we put in the atmosphere, because we know our words are creative. It is going to create.
And how do you?
The things that
you're dealing with, like if you're having cramps in your body, or like your chest hurts, or something's going on with you.
Right. Then you begin to say that by Jesus Christ, I'm healed. According to Deuteronomy 8, the Lord has delivered me from the curse of the law. Chest pains are a curse of the law. Whatever it is that he's dealing with is a curse of the law. And Jesus died, according to Galatians 3:13, Christ died and delivered me from this curse of the law, delivered me from whatever situation is. So you have to begin to work the word. Begin to speak what the Lord is saying.
I like to say, because if it's not happened yet, I like to say I am being healed because of the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over myself.
Well, see, when you speak I am healed, you call those things as not. So you're not See, you're not trying to be in. You're not necessarily trying to glorify the process of. See, when you say you're being, that's you like in it right now. But when you say I'm healed, that means it's already done. See, you advance to the next place. You advance to finish. Because of the sin, because Jesus died already years ago. So because of him dying, I'm now free. So I don't have to necessarily wait or necessarily be focused on the process. I just go ahead and believe, receive, but then I also speak. My word activates, initiates, and speaks. When I speak this word, and I believe that I'm healed by his stripes, now it's already done. I'm not trying to waiting on it.
I think that sometimes if somebody mm-hmm. says I am healed, if somebody says I am healed by the blood of Jesus, I think that there may be something that they need to do, like as far as like seeing a doctor or something to that effect, that they may not do. They may ignore something that they need to do because they say they are healed by the blood of Jesus. So if they're healed, but something is persisting, then they need to see a doctor. They may not see a doctor if they're proclaiming healing.
Well, the thing is, remember now, the scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. See, this whole thing is about faith. Sometimes we overthink it, and sometimes we put more it has to be, because remember now, if someone said, oh, I'm just sick and tired of this, and I'm sick of this, some of you say what I'm thinking, and guess what? It happens. So when we begin to put the right words in the atmosphere, sometimes it takes longer to rewrite what was written, but then at the same time, we keep speaking to the finishing, not necessarily because it's already done. And the thing is it's not even so much the thing that needs to be done. Sometimes it's our faith. When your faith comes to the place of being able to accept what you're saying, then your heart can change. And then some things that happen much faster in material life. Everything happens in God's timing. Now, you do repetition as we begin to speak it. That's how you – the thing about it, exercise it. The more you repetitiously work out, that's how you get stronger. You don't push a weight one time and say two or three times and say I'm stronger now. No, it's through the process. So the more you speak in it, the more stronger you become. The faster it materializes. The more the stronger the force come out of your mouth, and the more your words are anointed by God, because the more you begin to speak God's word, God is not obligated to back up our opinion. He's only obligated to back up his word. So the more we speak his word, we initiate, we activate, we move things. So we don't want to stand in middle ground with it, but we want to go to finish. It is finished. So we want to go to that place in things and begin to speak those things to be not as though they were. That's what the scripture says. See, we got to sing the scripture. So when we stick to what God is saying, the word of God is saying, this is where we have results. This is where we see change. I remember one time, one of my baby girls had a knot in their head, and I was beginning to lay my hands on it and begin to curse it at the root, the same way Jesus cursed the fig tree. And I said, by the stripes of Jesus, she's healed. Next night, my wife said, did you see this knot? I said, no, it went down half the size in one day. And so within a few more days of laying my hand, cursing it, speaking it, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. She's healed. We curse this at the root. The more we begin to speak it, within the next 2-3 days, it was gone. See,
I am an overcomer because of Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus.
Okay,
because of Jesus.
Well, but still, you got to speak. He says, speak to the mountain. Don't talk about the mountain. Speak to the mountain and command it to be moved. See, that's another part we can get to tonight. You got to speak to the mountain. We can't be, because kind of, okay, you fine. That's something for you. If you're saying, huh? You can't listen. When it comes to healing or deliverance, We can't pacify it. We have to go right down to the core of it and attack it. See, because it's attacking you, you got to attack it. So that's why you got to be aggressive. The Bible said, once again, speak those things, be not as though they were. He didn't say speak
what
you want.
Do you believe in going to the doctor?
Yeah, well, you do. Because you know what? Because, see, listen, this is the thing. Going to the doctor does, they have their part in this thing, okay? Now, when you go to the doctor, you need to know what it is you're fighting. See, this is where the wisdom comes in now. See, they've learned and practiced what they practice to know how to identify the bundle with the body and know what's going on. So, yeah, we let them do their thing. But they don't have the final say when it comes down to it, especially if they're not saying the same thing God is saying. So when they go there, when they diagnose you and say, this is what you're dealing with. So we need them. Yes, they do. They have a purpose in our life. But once they help to identify it, from that point, now I can take it to the throne. I can go to God about it. Okay, God, this is what they say. This is the situation. But these are the facts. And listen here, this is nothing we'd like to teach you. These are the facts. The doctor says such and such and such. And they say such and such and such. These are the facts. But the truth, by his stripes, I'm healed. See, even though I mentioned the facts, but the facts isn't the end of the story. The truth of God's word is the final story, is the end of the story. And this is what I hold fast to, and this is what I cling to, and this is what I speak. I'm not speaking the facts. These are dead statements. I'm not speaking dead statements. I'm speaking the alive word. And this alive word is going to root out the facts and override it to bring it to nothing. So, yes, the doctors have their place, but they don't have the final say when it comes down to the end. They give me the facts, not the faith. So I get the facts from the doctors, but they don't have the truth or when they don't have the final truth and the faith that I need. I get that from God. That's where the God factor comes in now. We use it to help identify, and we bring the word of God. We attack it with the word of God. So, see, that's what I'm saying. When it comes down to it, you don't want to pacify. You don't want to be easy on it, because if you be pacified and you're easy on it, it'll get you. So you have
to speak God's word and
be aggressive. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you are a healer. Thank you, Lord, that you are a healer. And thank you, Lord, that I receive healing because of you. I am healed. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Exactly. Right. I am healed. Amen. Praise God.
And I believe that the church is backwards, because I believe that, you know, sometimes people try to use the church to gain profit. And that's why Jesus got mad. Because he said, this is a house of prayer, but you are turning into a den of thieves, trying to turn it into a marketplace. But, like, I believe when you are blessed by somebody or you believe in their ministry, then you give onto that because you're sowing into good ground.
Right.
And then
Amen.
I believe also that is the church is backwards, because there's a lot of hurt people that are broken in the church, and they're not being ministered to.
Well, see, the thing is about that is, you know, and I get it, and I agree that there are some churches like that, but then the truth, there's also hurt people. You know, and so we have to look at the fact too, is some people refuse medication, some people refuse the word of God. And choose to be in that state rather than allowing the word of God to deal with their hearts and change. And so we end up having returned those hurt people. And they may be
there's
in
not,
the church. So
there's
so
not that anointing. There's not that anointing. There's not that anointing because the people are not really focused on the Spirit of Christ. And a lot of times, a lot of churches are preaching to itching ears. Instead of focusing on the love, but
that's the bottom line. That's why the leaders have to make sure that, you know, we are in a good place and make sure that we follow God's word and do our part. And when we don't allow ourselves to get corner with other extra stuff, we can do the work of God and get things done. And the people should follow. So that's where, you know, it's all of a choice. We all have a choice in this matter. And this is why we have to choose well. But thank you. And God bless you. I pray that you can definitely continue to speak the word and to finish, not, you know, like I said, finish, because you're healed by his stripes. And it's like a tree. The more you're chopping down the tree, the more like a tree. The more
you
get
chopped. I
know
you and I are both long with you.
All right. Well, be blessed, and thank you very much, and God bless you. Thank you for calling in tonight, okay?
Pastor Marcus.
Yes.
A big part of the church is supposed to be people uplifting one another, and you're right. And I believe in you, because I know that you and I have had one-on-one conversations, and I've sown into your ministry before because I was able, and I believe in your ministry, and I know that we've had blessed conversations. A big part of the church is supposed to be uplifting and healing and delivering. So,
yes, amen. That's what it is. And we thank God for things being where they need to be. So thank you very much, and God bless you, and have a good night, okay?
Okay, you too.
All right. Give the family our love, okay? All right.
Okay.
All right. You too. All right, so amen. If there's anyone else at this time, amen, we're going to get ready. If there's anyone else, amen. All right, well, once again, thank God for each and every one tonight. And yes, go ahead.
Yes, I definitely like the word. And what you begin to talk about, basically even the word of God, I like what this one person said. You have to know, you have to basically understand the God that you serve. Like, when we look at the word of God, yes, we as people of God can have the word down pat. But like you said, our mind is you know, like, we have a mindset of something else, but we're quoting something else. And that's where, you know, I truly believe, yes, of the renewing of the mind. But it also, even in this walk with God, throughout Scripture, you hear death have to take place in order for, you know, a lot of people say, oh, we want revival, we want this, we want that, but in order to experience revival and the newness of God, there first must become a place of crucifixion, of death to self.
Amen.
Because that's how a lot of people experience their breakthrough. And going even to deliverance, and even those stumbling blocks that, you know, come against even the word of God has spoken even over our lives. You know, and truly to get to those things, I truly, yes, believe that deliverance, like you said, about, you know, attacking it to the core, because it's those roots that we have to focus on, not the fruit. Yeah, we have to focus, and we have to identify the roots, because we can look and chop down the fruits all day long, but if we don't get to that root, it's going to keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, because I think, like, even when you talked about a little bit about hurt people. You know, you're always going to be a victim if you're always being hurt instead of, hey, things, you know, addressing that. Because if we always be in a place of we're hurt, little things that people do to us or say to us, we're going to be hurt. In First Peter, it talks about counting not strange when these fiery doubts, these trials come against you.
Mm-hmm.
The church was built upon suffering. And when we want to be great on different things, we have to be healed, because if we don't be healed, if we're still jealous, if we still have insecurities, if we still have these things, we're going to be looking through those lenses. If we're looking at what our old pastor did, that he, you know, that wasn't right, they're supposed to, you know, help us or deliver us. If we keep looking at the old things, we cannot be ushered into what God has us, you know? All we can do is pray and move forward, because if we don't, we are truly being held back.
Yeah.
And that's what the enemy would like to have us, held back. If I'm going through something and I feel like, oh, why somebody didn't help me, I'm going through this. Sometimes God will not allow certain people to minister in certain seasons of your life.
Yeah, true.
And
amen.
Sometimes
indeed.
We it upon our leaders or our friends or people that we thought could see. Doesn't mean they can't see. God's just not letting them, allow them to speak into your life at that moment. And truly, when I look at even of deliverance, sometimes God will cause you and allow you to go through certain things on your own because he's trying to prepare you. And even like when people, if it seems like people keep coming against you, it's for a reason, you know, because if we can't take the little hits that's happening and we expect to be great in God, we have to know and learn how to grow through certain things and not attack a people, but attack that spirit that's upon that person.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's right. Amen. You're preaching right. Now you're preaching right.
Because, you know, like I understand, because, like I said, especially for us as women, it's truly important because if we expect God to bless us with certain people in our life, whether it's marriage, whether it's certain things, I had to learn. Like, even, you know, me being married, you know, if we're not healed, we can damage a marriage, we can damage a relationship, and we're always seeing, oh, it's that person's fault. But, like I said, through those lenses, we give out what we, you know, hurt or different things. And we take those little things and think, oh, they're being funny or this or that. And no, God is, you know, God is trying to expose us to show us that we're still not delivered.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But I think it's truly healing of that. And when we truly get healed, we can truly be a blessing to the body of Christ and know how to pour out and bless other people. And if certain things are happening in the body of Christ, it's up to us to intercede for it. Because we know the enemy came down with great wrath trying to devour many.
Amen. Amen. You pray, you pray. Thank you very much for that. I mean, that's truth. And, I mean, a lot of stuff, I mean, just bottom line, we have more control over a lot of things that's happening or don't happen than we realize. It just takes us to be more conscious about it and do some things differently to change our cycles of the way we used to do certain things, beginning to make some changes, put the word of God there instead of putting our emotions there, begin to speak instead of speak the truth versus speaking facts. You know, all those things work together for our good. So I thank God for you for sharing for that, Sister Amy, and I thank God for just, I mean, true, that's true. I mean, it's more to it than just trying to be a victim, because I mean, we have to get past that. If not, a person can be a victim. They can always be a victim. And then, two people always mention. Some people like to mention it because they pull the victim card. Sometimes they want. So be careful. I've been hurt, but to me, sometimes you send out the wrong impression, or you my radars go off because it's like, well, why are you throwing that at me? I mean, I didn't do anything or say anything. So that kind of lets me know that, you know, I got to be careful because they could. I can see some action going the wrong way with this thing here because there's a reason why they said what they said, you know. So we have to be careful what we put out there or let people put out there, and listen to some stuff that people put out there and realize, read between the lines, why they're saying that, you know. And so they need to be healed. And a lot of them just need to let go and let God forgive. Forgiveness is a big part of the thing. We got to learn how to forgive. We cannot keep carrying things and carrying people all our life and expect God to heal us. No, because you won't forgive. You expect God to forgive. God's not going to forgive you. You know, so we have to make sure that we can do our part. So thank you for that. Amen. Amen.
Hello?
Yeah. Yes.
I can say one more thing.
Sure, go ahead.
I remember what you said about when God bless you, it does not matter who curse you because you are still blessed.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And,
amen.
And also, I truly want to say this, you know, for even those who are listening, it comes to a place when you are blessed by God, but if you don't understand that you're blessed by God and God has called you blessed and God called certain things upon your life, but if there's other people that's coming to throw darts, that is a testing. God's going to see who are you going to believe. Because there are certain people God can speak, you are blessed, but if somebody comes to you and tries to downplay what God spoke over your life, and if you believe it,
yeah.
Then that part is on you until you come into that, come into that place to believe what God spoke over your life, because nobody has, you cannot give the enemy or people power unless you give it to them.
Right, right. Amen. Amen. Very true. So we have to own up. Amen. We have to own up. Amen. So we just thank the Lord for what's been said and done tonight. Amen. No time is over tonight, but we just thank God for what he's about to do. To take this word tonight, amen, apply it, and let the word of God do a work within us, amen. And we look to pick up from where we left off on next week, amen, God, if God says so. And in the meantime, be blessed. Amen. Father,
may
we
I
thank
say
you.
Something?
Man, we're about to close, amen. Can you, matter of fact, just if you can hold on to it and bring it back on next week. Amen. We kind of ran behind time. We got to get up the air right now. But just remember what you said, or inbox the group. Amen. Inbox me and let me know, and we will definitely bring that back up on next week. Amen.
Yeah, it's just about looking at the spirit, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, no problem. Well, thank you very much. Amen. But thank you all, and once again, thank you all for who participated in Call Fires, even for not only just being here, but also spoke up. Thank God for you all. We appreciate your comments, your inputs, and your sharing your heart. And we look forward to see what God is going to do in next week. Amen. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for all that's been said and done and what's been established tonight. Thank you for your word, for your word coming, cutting deep, as well as even causing some things to be initiated and activated, and Lord God, and even also things to be put into action in Jesus' name. So thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for each and every one, that we should be encouraged as we apply the word to our lives, Lord God. Let us see the results quickly in the name of Jesus, God. We bless you right now and tonight, Lord God, and we thank you for all the marvelous things you're doing in each and every one of us as we apply your word to our life. Thank you for the results of your word. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good night. Thank you.
Love y'all. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Bye-bye.